Welcome to the podcast, Just Saying. My name is Joe McCormick. I'm your host. In our podcast this week, episode number 396, as we're getting close to episode number 400, can't believe it, I'm going to give you some pivots when you're giving a PowerPoint presentation. These are six ways to mix it up without messing it up. If you're new to the podcast, I'm super happy that you're here. If you've been with me before, I'm super happy that you're back. Please spread the word. I'm helping people become more intentional communicators. It's hard. There's a lot of options available to us. It's very easy to not be brief, not to be clear and concise, to create noise for people. And I want you to help avoid that. Presentations are something that people do from time to time. Some people do a lot of them. Some people get really, really wigged out by them. And I wanted to take this topic because I think that presentations need to have a power and a point, hence the term PowerPoint. You know, Microsoft's a client of ours, and we love that relationship, and PowerPoint's not the villain. You know, PowerPoint's a great tool, but people misuse it, and presentations really can get people all messed up. And I just want to untangle that a bit. Though I'm not going to specifically talk about presentation techniques, there's thousands of books written on them. I would say most of them are a waste of time because they're a performative art. So people think about presentations like performing, and I think that's a huge mistake. I think people also feel helpless when they give presentations, like especially in the military. I spend a lot of time with the military. They do briefings and they feel like they're kind of stuck in a standard format and there's nothing they can do and it's going to be lame and I can't get my way out of that box. And on the corporate side too, I think people want to put flash and make the thing really amazing and like I'm going to a musical or some show and it's going to be, I'm pitching a new idea or you know, talking to the board and I've got to make the whole thing have sizzle and steak and wow factor. And that could be a problem as well. So I'm looking at these as pivots. How can I pivot when I've got to give a presentation? What can I do? So I don't feel helpless or I don't feel like I'm trying to overdo it either. And when I mentioned just a second ago about performance, I think this is one of the biggest mistakes people have when they make presentations is they make it about themselves. I did a podcast on this actually a number of years ago where I think these, you know, TEDx and TED conferences have sort of jumped the shark. I'm not going to recap that podcast. If you want to look it up, it's in the past. Why TED has jumped the shark. You can re-listen to that. But the point is people look at presentations as performances, and they're not. All presentations are conversations. You're having a really important conversation with somebody. If that person is, you know, three people and you're presenting to, or 300 or 3,000. I've had the opportunity over the years to speak to, you know, groups of thousands of people. I don't do it very often. Yeah, I get nervous. People get nervous when they give presentations. It happens. I get it. You give a presentation to three people, you get nervous. Or 30, whatever the number is. It gets all up in their head. You know, recently I had, I don't do this very often, but I met a guy, a really, really sharp guy who was a connection of mine. And he hit me up on LinkedIn and it was intriguing, his message. So we got on a call and I don't do coaching, individual coaching. I'm leading the Brief Lab and the Quiet Workplace and doing this podcast and doing instruction and product development, you know, all these different things. So I very, very rarely do kind of one-on-one coaching or consulting to people. But this guy sort of intrigued me, and he had done a TEDx presentation and really needed help with communication because he was getting into, you know, building a consulting business and was going to do more public speaking. So I talked to him. And that kind of inspired me to look at things that I was telling him to do that were like pivots, changes that he could make to make that presentation stickier, better for the audience, really, for the people that he was conversing with. And I always start my advice with presentations that presentations are always conversations. They never should be performances. If you're making it a performance, you're making it about yourself. And you can disagree, and I'm okay with that. I just feel like when people start to do that, they get outside of their voice. And they start trying to become people that they're actually not. And people really value, especially nowadays, authenticity. you know, you've got this age of AI and people are losing their voice. Well, a good presentation, a good conversation can be you, authentically you, talking to me, talking to the people that you're talking to in a way that really resonates with them. So we want to do everything we can to maintain your real voice, be authentic, be yourself. So what are six ways to mix it up without messing it up? That's the point here. How do we pivot here? Well, the first one I have is give people a choice. What do I mean? If you have a presentation and let's say you've got 10 slides or 15, whatever the number is, and you've developed your presentation and you're going to give the presentation, could it be possible that you treat it like the audience has a choice? You know, I've developed a presentation, I have a presentation, and I can show it to you, or would you just rather have a conversation? And you kind of give them an A, B choice. I've recommended this to people over the years, whether it's sales presentations, whether it's briefings, is giving people an option. See the presentation, and you don't prefer one or the other. You're just giving people an option. I'm happy to present my material to you, or we could just ditch that completely and just have a conversation. I would say the first one is give them an option. And that could be very powerful. They're like, wait, I get to choose? Yeah, give them a choice. And you would be surprised how many people would say, let's just have a conversation. I had a meeting with a guy not that long ago in Washington, D.C., and I told him this. And he's like, I've been doing that all the time now, and people choose the conversation. And I told him, don't push people. Give them a free choice into A, we'll have a presentation, or B, a conversation. And let them opt in to one or the other and don't push them in. And he said it worked great for him. So that's the first pivot. The second one is insert a story. Insert a story. Or two, or three, or four. I cannot overestimate the importance of giving people an example, a vignette, or a story to illustrate what you're saying. And that story could be true, or it could be hypothetical. It doesn't matter. Narrative has this sort of stickiness in people's heads. When you were to say, let me give you an example. I was talking to this guy about 3 months ago. It activates something in your brain that makes people want to listen to you. So a couple of key things there are obviously have one that illustrates the points that you want to make in an accurate way. Make sure that it's engaging, has a beginning, middle, and end. And I would say make sure they're not too long. Some people can get overwhelmed on storytelling and turn this thing into like once upon a time and then people fall asleep. So you don't want to do that. So I think the second pivot is, can you insert a story or two or three into the presentation to bring it to life? Pivot number three is talk like the power went off and you lost your notes. So just imagine you've got to give a presentation. What would you do if the power went off? So like you can't project the PowerPoint. There's no power. Like the screen doesn't work. The projector doesn't work. Imagine like it's that and you look for your notes in your bag and you forgot them. What would you do? What would you do? And I would put yourself in that mindset. Like if that happened, what would I do? Several years back, I had actually give a keynote at a conference, like the summit. It was kind of a big deal. And ironically, because I've been thinking and saying this for a number of years, the event organizer told me we have a power outage. And the generator in the main building, it was like this conference center in like upstate New York or wherever. And I just laughed to myself. And I'm like, so I'm going to be doing the keynote by candlelight. And the event organizer laughed. They're like, no, it's not candlelight, but we'll have light in the room, but we may not have power. And I just thought, okay, I got this. I mean, I've been thinking and saying this for a long time, but like if the power went off and I don't have notes, what would I say? So I would think like that. Be ready for that, because that'll make you own whatever message that you're going to deliver, regardless if you have slides or not, or if you have notes or not. The fourth pivot is visuals speak volumes. So if I'm looking at a screen and I'm looking at a presentation, I want you to pivot into the value of a visual over text. You know, as the adage goes, and that's why they have adages, a picture is worth a thousand words. Well, if I've got a slide and I can have a primary image, on a slide. That could be a pivot. I show a picture of a person rowing a boat. And the point that I'm trying to say is that, you know, this is going to be a long, arduous, you know, manual journey, whatever. Or can I have a picture that relates to what I'm going to talk about? Could it be expected, unexpected, creative, thought-provoking? You know, it has to be relevant. It has to match. But a visual could be a very powerful way. There was a technology that I used. I'm not trying to discourage people from using PowerPoint. Of course not. And it's called Haiku Deck. And what was interesting about this platform, I think it still exists, is that the way they set it up is primary image, one image, major headline, subheadline. And I used to use this for a while when I was giving a lot of presentations when the book brief came out. And it was really cool. It was very effective. Show a picture. Picture speaks 1,000 words. Okay, that's pivot number 4. Pivot number 5 is shrink the deck. And when talking about PowerPoint, I don't think PowerPoint's the villain of the story, actually. I think that PowerPoint is used for two different things: documentation and presentation. And the problem is that people document in PowerPoint and then they present from PowerPoint. Well, if I'm presenting like that and I blame PowerPoint, that's not its fault. It's, you want to use it as a presentation tool. So if I have a presentation that is 20 pages long, that might be my documentation. Shrink it. If that's my leave behind, then maybe what I need to have is 5 slides instead of 20. And each slide is a section with a primary image. Can I make it fewer slides? Instead of 10, can I get to 5? Instead of 20, can I get to 10? Make it shorter. People want it to be shorter. This will really help you pivot and give the audience some relief. So because if obviously the longer the slides, the longer the time. And that's going to be problematic. I remember a story. This is really, really funny because when it happened to me, my marketing agency was in full bloom and we were doing a lot of consulting around developing messages, helping people deliver messages with, you know, clarity and brevity and impact. And we had account executives and creative director and designers and filmmaker. I mean, we had the whole team of, it was like a multi-functional boutique design agency that did specialize in branding and messaging and narrative. And I talked to the chief marketing officer of a very, very like Fortune 100 elite iconic brand. I'm not going to say it was, but it was an iconic brand. And I told him what I did and he goes, I get it. I get brief. I get the value of narrative. I got a project for you. And I'm like, what's the project? And he said, our digital marketing team is being asked to present to the board and they want to spend more money on digital marketing. And they have a slide presentation, which is 80 slides. And they assure me that they can't make it shorter. And he was in disbelief. He's like, this can't be 80 slides to the board. And they were like, there's no way I can make it shorter. So he's like, I need you to fly. At the time I was living in Chicago to New York, and I want you to help them make it shorter. Well, as I was flying out there, they'd sent me the slide presentation. It was honestly one of the most beautiful presentations I've ever seen. It was incredibly beautifully designed. And it was a very comprehensive story of digital marketing. It probably cost them a fortune to make. When I was flying out there, I was thinking, what am I going to tell these people? I'm going to hurt their feelings. They made this beautiful presentation. You know, they feel completely incapable of making it shorter. They've told the CMO likewise. And when I got to the meeting, I said, listen, you guys have made a beautiful movie. Let's make a trailer. Shrink the deck. Make it shorter. Last pivot, number 6, insert question, comment, observation. This is very powerful. Give the audience a voice. Tell them, instead of me talking for 50 minutes, I'm going to talk for 25 minutes. I'm going to have the final 20, 25 minutes to do QCO. I call it QCO. Take a minute to write down a question you have for me, a comment, or an observation. Have everybody do it and then field those questions, comments, and observations as a way of culminating and finishing your presentation. Those are 6 pivots. Give them a choice, insert a story, talk like the power went off and you lost your notes, use visuals to create an impact. They speak volumes, shrink your presentation, and insert QCO. When you prepare a presentation or a briefing, don't feel helpless. Have an alternative plan of attack. Just saying.